We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. I'm not sure if anybody's noticed, but it's warm outside. Currently, it is at the Elk City Bazinet Station. We have 98 degrees. Heat index is 100 even. Humidity is 32. Looks like we have 0.10 inches of rain in the Elk City area last night at the Mezzanet, 1/10 of an inch. The winds out of the west, southwest, 17 miles an hour. Wind gust up to 22. Let's see what's happening in the state right now, because I seen some crazy stuff on the Mezzanet a while ago. Currently right now, Hobart, you're the winner. You're at 101 degrees. You are the hottest in the state right now. Altus, you're coming in about third or fourth, 99. Looks like Wheeler's at 95. Canadians at 96. No, they're not. They're at 89. Canadians at 89. That's what I seen a while ago. Up in the Panhandle, Boise City's 80 degrees. Eva's 79. Goodwell is at 82. And where's Woodward at? Woodward's at 91. So anyway, a little cooler temperatures up in the Panhandle, Oklahoma, and parts of the Texas Panhandle. Text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. Let's go to the markets and see what's happening. First, we'll start with the futures. Looks like everything's back up a little bit from yesterday, man. It was dropping like a rock yesterday. July corn, 743. September, 609. December, 594. March of next year come up on the screen, 601. Soybeans for July, 1602. August, 1479. September, 1375. Soybean meal, $470.20 for a short ton for July. August is $422.20 for a short ton. Soybean oil, July, 60.7 cents per pound. It's up a little bit. August is 61.34. Hard red winter wheat, July 8.81. September 8.83. Oats are for July are at 6.64. And September's at 4.60. Let's go ahead and do live cattle while I'm here, because I have a special guest in the studio today. So when we come back for our second segment, I have Robert Williams in here, and we're going to be talking about cattle. And he's an executive director, correct? He's executive director of the America Wagyus, correct? I got that right. And that breed fascinates me. So I've got the big dog in here today to talk about this. So anyway, live cattle for August is at 134.37, October 139.65, December 145.30. Live cattle for February is at 150.10. Looks like feeder cattle are down a little bit. August, 172.40, 176.05 for September. Lean hogs, July, 112.92, August, 110.82, and October, 94.32. Cotton is at 96 cents for October. It's down. I mean, it's just been steadily coming down. As soon as one of my PIs that I have working for me in the cotton industry out there gets back with me, we're going to talk about why it is hitting rock bottom. Let's check out cash grain prices real quick in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Looks like hard red winter wheat cash prices today at the elevators, $8.27. Corn's at $7.46, Milo's at $6.49, and soybeans are at $14.69. And we'll get that going. Anyway, well, when I come back, we'll talk with Robert Thomas. And if you got any questions about the breed of beef we're going to be talking about, don't be bashful. Text it in, if it's a legitimate question, I'll let Robert answer it. I used to be in the oil field, and I have really funny friends out there sometimes. So I have to scan them before we talk about them on the air. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I knew I was probably going to try to get a hold of Mickey, and I had been shopping and had the prices. So I had shopped previously before Mickey showed up at the office, and I told him that. And he understood, and he said he wanted to give it a shot. And so he did, and his prices were right. And his coverage was as good or better than some of the stuff I was shopping. And so that was an easy decision for me because I'd already done the legwork on the other end, but I had been to their places. He shows up at my barn. And so when he was even a little bit cheaper on some stuff the same, it was an easy decision for me because you got a guy there wanting your business. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring. Every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer, they're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18-ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. And we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing.
We strive in our cow herd for high efficiency cattle. We want lots of gain with low input. That's what we strive for. We want our customers to be able to wean the biggest calf without putting much money into that. We try to prove that through our commercial herd, and then if they prove themselves there, then we make them registered, and we chase those bloodlines. Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I'm back. And I have to correct myself. I said Robert Thompson. It's Robert Williams. And I've got it wrote down here. I just wasn't looking at my notes. But here, let me give you an update on the weather. I'll just look at the Gabe gadget here at the studio. 95.4 degrees here at the studios. Winds are out of the south-southwest at 10 miles an hour. Humidity's 34. Well, Mr. Williams, welcome to the Today in Ag Show.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and thanks for stopping by. You come from Woodward this morning?
I did, yes.
And you're on your way to Blanchard or to the city?
Well, we have a sale this weekend, Saturday, in Blanchard, Oklahoma. And,
right.
You know, we have sales around the country that I try to attend, you know, as many of them as I can, and you know, hell, it's a great way to network with other breeders and members and to, you know, get a pulse of kind of the breed and the industry of what's going on out, you know, with our breeders rather than just sitting in an office.
Well, you're out of Kansas City, but you're originally from Woodward, is that right?
Well, so our office today, you know, for the American Wagyu Association is in Post Falls, Idaho.
Okay.
So we're in northern Idaho. You know, we're just across the state line from Spokane, Washington. The Spokane, Washington airport's about 25 25 miles, so we're right up in that area. Coeur d'Alene, a lot of people know Coeur d'Alene. It's a nice resort area.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful country.
Panhandle of Idaho.
Really the panhandle of Idaho, Northern. And, you know, this, right now I think it's probably in the 70s. It's a little different than Oklahoma. I grew up out here. So I grew up northwest Oklahoma. My hometown's Freedom.
Right.
Is where I grew up and went to high school at.
Okay, cool. Great. And then, so welcome back to Oklahoma.
Yeah, great. It's always great to be here. I always tell people it's the cultural center of the universe. And, yeah. A lot of people may not remember, but Hoyt Axton used that in the commercial years ago, so I always say that. But it's a great state and a great state to grow up in.
Well, it's funny you talk about that at Idaho, because I went up to my granddaughter's graduation there in western Montana, and I have a friend down in Idaho, right across from the Oregon state line, and I come down through that panhandle through there,
mm-hmm.
and I stopped at a casino there where they have a golf course not too far from where you're talking about.
I'm in Coeur d'Alene.
He was, yeah. And it's extremely nice.
Right, it is. And the floating green?
Yeah.
Yes, that's in Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah, I never hit it, but yeah.
I know. Well, I hit everything but it, right?
Yeah.
I'm not a golfer. I haven't golfed, but that would be about me. I'd hit everything but the greens.
Oh, it's a gorgeous place. The casino is nice, and I stayed there that night. And what was really cool is two different times I seen a moose walking across the parking lot there.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's a beautiful country up there.
It really is. Yeah, you're just coming out of the Rockies down on the west side of the Rockies,
yep.
And right there at Coeur d'Alene, Post Falls.
And I remember seeing that highway sign, Spokane, Washington, and it was pointing west.
That's it.
So, anyway, well, tell us a little about what you do. You're the executive director.
Right. I'm the executive director of the American Wagyu Association.
Okay.
So we're at, I think, this is our 32 years we've had an association.
Okay.
So we're, at least here in the United States, we're one of the younger breeds, I guess, here in the United States, although, it's a much older breed. You go back to the roots over in Japan.
Is that where it started at, with Japan?
Right, it's a Japanese developed breed, yes.
Right. Well, they, you were in Kansas City and was working for the Charlet Association, you was telling me.
Tell me a little bit about that. Yeah, so actually my first job out of college was working for Beefmaster Breeders United out of San Antonio, Texas.
Okay.
And so I was there for several years and then managed a ranch for a few years after that. And then decided I wasn't needed to go back to school, so I went back to graduate school at the University of Georgia.
Yeah.
And finished my master's and PhD there in beef cattle breeding and genetics.
Right.
And then from there I went to Kansas City in 1998 and started their director of performance programs, their research programs, and also foreign marketing. And I was there with Charlet for 17 years.
That's a cool place there.
It's a nice city, yeah.
Kansas City's my favorite of everything. Uh-huh. People say, why? I just believe me. You just got to live there to know.
Yeah, yeah. It's a hub for agriculture.
Yeah, it really is.
There's several beef breed associations that are headquartered out of Kansas City. And, of course, the American Oil there and the barbecue that they do there is world famous, of course. And then, the pharmaceutical triangle, they call it, is right there. Kansas City is the hub of the pharmaceutical for animal health, certainly. And so it's a great city. And, of course, they do play some baseball and football there, too.
Oh, yeah. And then on the Kansas side, over there by Cabela's, they got NASCAR. And I was living there when they first built that track, and I was a true believer.
Right.
Yeah, I had my own spot up on the turn three up there with the RVs. It was Kansas City is a great place, and it's got a lot of history. And right around there in Missouri, there's a lot of history in Missouri, whether it's prior to the Civil War and afterwards, and the start of the Oregon Trail, and it's just there's so much history. Yeah,
a lot of things came together there.
Yeah, come together there. Well, you said you went back to Georgia. What's the difference between the agriculture schools at Georgia and the OSU at Stillwater? Is there any differences?
Well,
besides
some
culture,
yeah. But they're both land grant universities,
right?
And I think in terms of land grant universities, people have really probably not at least certainly in more recent years given enough credit to what land grant universities and extension service and that research has done for this country.
Right.
We say it all the time, and I think people hopefully they believe it because it's true. The agriculture here in the United States, in terms of the research and the way we produce product, and you know, good high quality product. It's healthy for consumers. It's safe, and also, you know, cost of production. You know, we've really focused on those things. Land Grant University's played a huge role in that.
Right.
And so Georgia is the same as Oklahoma State in that regard. You know, there's some research, a lot of research done there. In terms of agriculture and genetics, and certainly when I went back to graduate school there, you know, it was probably the leading institution of its kind worldwide in terms of genetic evaluation. In other words, you've heard about EPDs.
Oh, yeah.
That's really where it started. That was really the birthplace of EPDs in terms of publishing the first, you know, animal model. Dr. Beneshek and Keith Bertrand there, and so I had an opportunity to work with those gentlemen, and you know, in the 90s.
Did you learn anything?
And I learned a little bit. There's still a lot they didn't teach me or couldn't teach me. But it was, you know, it's really a leading institution, and still is. I mean, a lot of the work they do there, you know, you hear about a lot of it today about genomic evaluations.
Right.
You know, that's really the birthplace of even, you know, the model that we use today for genomic evaluations came out of Georgia. So in that regard for genetics, certainly, and there's other disciplines too. But like every land grant university, I mean, I think, you know, Oklahoma State here is certainly one of the most respected.
Yes.
You know, agricultural universities, you know, globally, and the work that they've done there for a long, long time. And but you know, I think is, you know, all those land grant universities, the work we've done, extension, so forth, probably doesn't get enough
recognition.
For
they don't get enough pats on the back
for this country and globally too.
You right? Know, yeah, because you know the United States set the standard, I think, for whether it's genetics to do with cattle, genetics to do with wheat or crops or whatever. They've set their deal, and all these universities, Georgia, Oklahoma State, K-State. K-State's got a great university, mm-hmm. and Texas A&M.
Texas Tech, you know, you got Iowa State, Nebraska, and, you know, and Purdue, and a lot, you know, Cornell, some other land-grant universities that, you know, so, yeah, they've all played really huge roles. And,
yeah, because when you say Purdue, a lot of people don't put agriculture in Purdue.
Right.
But the last year or so that I do these reports every day, there's a lot of great reports come out of Purdue.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And then well, let's get back to the American Wagyu. It's been here how long now?
Well, some of the original three bulls came over in the late 70s.
Okay.
But that's really, it was just those three bulls. So we really didn't have the full blood effect of Wagyu cattle. So we had a lot of half bloods and percentage cattle that were produced out of those cattle. And then in the 1990s, there were some shipments of genetics that came over, some live animals, and I think some semen too that came over in the 1990s but they only came, you know, there's about 300 head. I don't, you know exactly how many head and some different shipments, but then Japan, right out in the 1990s, after that, they closed off, you know, they said that's a national treasure, and they closed off all exports of genetics out of Japan for Wagyu cattle. So no semen, no embryos, no live cattle came out of Japan after those original shipments. So today, there's about 25 countries, I think, that have Wagyu, some Wagyu genetics in them. There's about six or seven that have, you know, substantial numbers. But all those cattle worldwide outside of Japan originated from that shipment in the 1990s.
Really?
And so we're expanding. And so that was part of the reason that, you know, Wagyu, you didn't see a lot of it in retail stores or restaurants because there just wasn't enough of it available.
Right.
And
300 head worldwide, and it's not.
Yeah, it takes a while. And fortunately, you know, through reproduction advantages or research, you know, in terms of embryo transfer and
right.
things have enabled us to grow the breed a little faster today than what we could have, you know, 40, 50 years ago.
Right.
And so we're seeing a lot of embryo transfer work today and the growth of the breed. We're experiencing it at the American Wagyu Association, a lot of really tremendous growth today. I mean, in about a five-year period, we're probably going to double in size in every measurable category. And you think about that, you know, if I breed a cow today, it's 3 years later before her daughter has her first kid.
Exactly.
Right? So in 5 years to be able to do that, I think is really speaks volumes about the popularity and the growth of this breed today here in the United States.
Well, look at my little bit of research I did on the Wagyu. If you guys are just joining us, I got Mr. Robert Williams from American Wagyu. He's actually the executive director of the American Wagyu Association. He's joining me on the show today, and we we got off a little bit, our idea on the colleges, because I've always curious to talk to somebody who's been to two different colleges, because Stillwater, there's only one Stillwater in America, but I was just curious to the difference, and I've been to Manhattan, so yeah. I know what goes on up there, but how many of those original 300 made it to the homeland here? You know?
Well, I think most all of them came
did.
Here.
And then they spread from here.
They spread from there through right. embryo transfer and semen and
somebody's
got a problem too. I don't really know, and I'm not sure anybody knows exactly everything that
right.
was really recorded real well. But there's probably records scattered around about what happened. But today outside of Japan, the two largest countries in producing Wagyu are the United States and Australia.
Okay.
And so those are the two countries that really, took hold of it earlier on in the 90s and have really grown and continue to grow today.
What was Japan's deal? Why did they not want any more out?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, they declared it a national treasure.
Okay.
And so I think they just kind of felt like that was kind of, something
that
they're very
baby.
Proud of. And,
yes.
and they should be. And just kind of wanted to contain that there, maybe.
What's the difference between a Wagyu and, because, help me out here. I did a little research on it, but not that much. And I have buddies that got half and half Wagyus or half Angus. Mm-hmm. Wagyu, is it a naturally black animal?
Well, there's black and there's red.
Okay, there's black and
yeah,
red.
Black and red Wagyu.
And
yeah.
What's the difference between that animal and, just say, a Simmental or a black Angus?
Well, yeah, so the Wagyu actually stands for Japanese cow.
Okay.
So there's some different strains. There's really four different strains, I think, of Wagyu cattle in Japan. There's really only two of them that made it out of Japan. Those were the black Wagyu and the red Wagyu.
Okay.
And so both of them are pretty predominant here in the United States in terms of our production. The heaviest percentage of them, I would say here in the U.S., is black Wagyu, but there are quite a few red Wagyu as well.
Okay.
And they're both, produced really well. There are some differences between the two breeds, but, the red Wagyu are a little more conventional in their appearance. The black Wagyu maybe look a little more like you might think of a dairy cow or something. They're not the typical, like if you go to the steer show here in Oklahoma City, we're not going to win the steer show there, but we'd win the carcass contest.
Right.
But
yeah.
But
the Wagyu was in the Cattlemen's Congress this year, wasn't it? Or the deal they had in January up here at the city?
I'm not sure. There may have been some shown there, yeah.
Yeah, I think they was.
Yeah, we have a few breeders that do show Wagyu, and we'll have some cattle. I know that I think there was some there in Oklahoma City. There was some at Denver and some at North American, Louisville and Houston, and some other places as well. I think Jackson, Mississippi, to Dixon National had some, maybe a few
right.
Wagyu there. But we do have a few breeders that do show Wagyu cattle, yes.
Right, because that Oklahoma Cattlemen's Congress, or the Cattlemen's, not the Oklahoma, but the Cattlemen's Congress that they had there in Oklahoma City in January, I remember seeing the Wagyu breed was in there.
Yeah.
So, anyway, just tuned in. Major from Cooperton, that's what I was calling Joel.
Yeah.
We call him the Major on the radio. Already.
Yeah.
He just tuned in, so he's showing his due. He said he's headed to Northwest Arkansas to look at a red Wagyu bull right now.
There you go.
So he actually brought us some cut beef by here.
Right.
And we spread it amongst the studio. Yeah. Everybody loved it.
You don't get to eat like that every day, do you?
No.
Unfortunately.
No. Well, fortunately, I do get to eat pretty good every day because we raise a lot of good beef cattle
out here.
And anyway, we need to take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. I got Robert Williams. He's the executive director of the America Wagyu Association here in the United States. They're actually out of Idaho, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I got that right. I kept saying Kansas City.
Yeah.
I love Kansas City, so I'll claim everything in Kansas City anyway. We'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, June 27th. 1,085 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 235 brought 575. 3 at 462 brought 183. 8 at 638 brought 185. 4 at 745 brought 164. 13 at 893 brought 158.50. 5 head of heifers at 272 brought 550. 8 at 429 brought 161. 3 at 547 brought 167. 15 at 696 brought 156.50. 8 at 1150 brought 121. Butcher cows were 50 to 103. Butcher bulls brought 108 to 121. Pairs were 1100 to 1150. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Well, my show's putting some heat out. Since the show started, we've climbed to 101 degrees here and at the Elk City Mezzanet Station. Heat index is 102. The winds are out of the west, southwest, 18, gusting up to 26. And there we go. And in the studio with me is Robert Williams. He is Executive Director of the America Wagyu Association. And the Wagyu always has been an interest of mine, especially since I started this show, because you and I were talking about it on a break, and we'll touch on it now, is, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, a lot of people had never heard of it except for it being, I remember working in an oil field where couple of the oil executives out of Oklahoma City would catch a plane and go to Japan just to eat a Wagyu steak. And yeah. There's truth to that. Yeah. And I won't say no names, but anyway, I don't even know if they're still around. But how far has the Wagyu breed come in the last 2 or 3 years?
Well, it's grown tremendously. And, you know, I started, so June of 2019 was when I started to work with the American Wagyu Association as their executive director.
Is that about 3 years ago?
Yeah, about 3 years ago and last month. And, you know, I knew about Wagyu cattle, and, you know, I knew the executive director that they had for many years earlier was Dr. Charles Gaskins out at Washington State. And okay. He was their director, and, you know, I knew because he was an animal breeder and geneticist like me, and so we knew each other. And, you know, so we'd visit, so I knew about Wagyu, but there just wasn't, you know, the numbers, you know, were still pretty small, and they still are in regards to other breeds. But
what are they right now, approximately?
So we register, you know, we're registering about 11,000 head this year, we just wrapped up. And so that's, you know, and so in about 5 years' time, the last, you know, period of time here, we're going to probably double in size in most every, you know, measurable category in terms of our budget, registrations, transfers, and so forth. And if you think about that, you know, if I breed a cow today, it's 3 years before her daughter has her first calf, right?
So exactly.
it's a long generation interval, so you just don't make a lot of them overnight.
It's not going to happen.
And the demand has really taken off in the last 3 years. When I started to work, you know, a lot of people, you know, I'd tell, you know, where do you work? Well, the American Wagyu Association. What's that? What's Wagyu? And I'd explain to it, oh, okay, yeah, I kind of know what you're talking about. Now, today, you know, if I go through an airport and I've got a Wagyu vest on or a Wagyu cap or even my luggage tag.
Hey, I've had some of that.
They will ask, hey, well, I just had some Wagyu or hey, we're thinking about buying some. I've had that happen to me several times. We want to buy some.
Oh, yeah.
Some cattle, you know, some cows. And 3 years ago, that didn't really happen. It does today. And it's the only time I've been doing, you know, beef cattle seed stock for, you know, 40 years almost. And I've never had it happen like this, like it does today. The interest in Wagyu has really taken off you know, the last 3 years. And, you know, there are, you know, I got to hand it to our breeders because, you know, they keep beating the drum, right? And,
right,
you know, they keep talking to consumers and chefs. And, you know, of course, there were a lot of chefs at really high-quality restaurants that were, that knew about Wagyu and served it.
Right.
But it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't as available to them like it is this. You know, we're getting more tonnage produced.
Right.
And there's some differences I think people need to understand in terms of, you know, there's the Wagyu percentage cattle that we have, basically half-bloods.
Right.
Wagyu bulls back on Angus cows or Charolais cows.
Right.
That's a great product. I mean, it's a fabulous product.
Which is better, and, with Angus or Charolais?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've seen some of both, and had some of both, and they're both great products. You know,
they
add marbling to it, and so what? They're going to be a, you know, very high percentage of those cattle. Maybe I know some cattle 1 year. You know, there's 100 head of them in a pen, and they were Charolais Wagyu crosses. They were like 95% USDA prime, and
oh, great,
and you know, yellow grade twos, just great carcasses, especially what we're used to, right?
Right.
And so they're going to grade, you know, very high prime. A lot of them will go well beyond prime. And then if you get into the full blood, purebred and the full blood Wagyu genetics, you know, they start at prime. You know, they start at prime and go up. And of course, USDA doesn't grade anything above prime. So that creates a little bit of a problem for us in terms of, okay, characterizing that steak, what it is. But that product, you know, so USDA prime, I don't, you know, we're doing some research now, and I can tell you better maybe in a couple of months when it comes out. But USDA prime is about 13-14% intramuscular fat. You know, some of this full blood product could go as high as 50% intramuscular fat.
Wow.
And that's where you see some of those pictures that really, and that is just a fantastic product. It's got great flavor. You know, the melting point of the fat's really low, so it doesn't give you that real thick taste.
Oh, that
of fat.
Stuff that we had here.
I've seen people that grew up in the cattle business that have raised great cattle, great genetics, and they take their first bite of that product, and it's like I've just eaten beef for the first time. And, you know, so it's really a fantastic product, and that's really driving our popularity today. And, you know, so, yeah, I don't have to explain to anybody today what Wagyu is, and, you know, it's a name that people recognize today.
Well, I got a question for you, sure. Mr. Williams. Are there any polled Wagyu cattle?
There are in purebred.
Okay.
And some of the reds. But in the black Wagyu, there are, in the full bloods, there are no polled full blood black Wagyu.
Thank you for texting that in, whoever that was. And you got a name up here, but I'm not sure. Oh, it's Jill DeRosha. She won some tickets from me yesterday. Thank you for asking that question. Well, so what's the future look like? What's you guys' goal at the Wagyu Association?
Make more of it.
Make more of it, yeah.
That's right. We can't meet demand. And I get calls, you know, from restaurants or various people will call or they'll see me and ask, you know, where do, you know, hey, I want to buy some cattle, or I want to buy, you know, to put on feed, or I need to buy some beef to market, you know. And I said, well, good luck. Everybody else does too,
right?
And so the demand today is just fantastic. It's really driving our market and our growth, you know, and all the way from consumers and those producers that want to supply those consumers. But the demand's coming from the consumers. You know, it's not producers out there wanting to produce, you know, a product to send to the feedlot. You know, they don't market Wagyu cattle.
That's not a bad problem.
That's not a bad, yeah. So our whole marketing is different. And so I would say more of our producers than other breeds probably have a closer relationship with the consumer, because a lot of our producers are farm-to-table kind of producers. And so they have that direct relationship with consumers, and consumers are asking for the product. You know, they go out to restaurants, they're asking for the product. And so that's really driving demand. And, you know, we just recently here saw, you know, Arby's came out with a Wagyu kind of a product. And, you know, so when that happens, you know, there's no longer a secret, right? Everybody's discovered us. And that's a great thing. It's really helped us, the growth of our association and our membership. It's
Well, is there any certain one area of the United States that your growth is bigger than any other area, or is it pretty much all? Because I guess let me back up. Mm-hmm. How does the Wagyu cattle coming from Japan, how does it handle the south, like the southern plains?
You know, really, really well. I mean, they do are really, you know, from what I understand from producers, really heat tolerant.
Okay, cool.
You know, we just had this deal out here in Kansas, right here a few weeks ago or a month ago, that where they lost a lot of cattle, and I had one producer come and had a lot of Wagyu in the feedlot, and he said we didn't lose any.
Right.
You know, now whether, you know, maybe it was, you know, heat tolerance, but, you know, he seemed to think that was a lot of it, that the cattle were pretty heat tolerant. So
right.
So they, you know, they are. I mean, I think, you know.
Yeah, and that was a freak deal anyway.
It was, and, you know, that doesn't happen very often, right? But it did, and so, but, you know, the reports I hear from a lot of producers that they handle the environment really well where they're at. And, you know, our numbers of cattle would probably mimic the numbers of cattle and beef cows in the United States. Where there's beef cattle,
right?
There's going to, you know, our numbers will recognize. So Texas, you know, is that like most every other breed, is our largest state.
Okay.
For membership. But we've got a lot of members in the Northwest. We've got a lot of producers Northeast and scattered around as well.
Well, since you're into genetics, you went to college, I've never had this asked, so I'll have you help me answer.
Okay.
What does polled mean?
Polled. Okay, so polled, when we refer to polled,
yep.
You know, they're naturally hornless.
Right.
You know, they're born, in other words, they're born without the genetics to have a horn.
Right.
And so cattle that are horned, you know, that when they're baby calves, you may or may not see the horn tissue. I mean, if you know what you're looking for, you
right.
usually find it. But those are growing the horns.
Right.
And, you know, that are, you know, fairly long and you know, have the point on the end, right? But
right. And they hurt.
And they hurt. But yeah, so cattle that are what we call polled are naturally polled, and so as they mature, they won't have horns.
Right. And you see a lot of that in the Hereford breed.
Well,
you hear yeah. more about it.
There's polled Herefords and horned Herefords.
Right.
An example, you know, Charolais. I worked there for many years. You
right.
know, Charolais are naturally horned cattle, and so if you go into France, you know, there are a few polled around, but most all of them are horned Charolais. And
right.
when the cat Charolais first came here, they were all horned. Today, they're probably 95%. Polled
right.
Charolais here in the United States. So they've selected heavily for
that. Was a great question. Yeah. Never had that in here. I knew the answer, but at least you could hear it from a professional, educated one.
Yeah, now a lot of people do, you know, I would say a lot of people do dehorn their animals.
Right.
And
yeah,
so you know, they might be mature, not have a horn, but they do have the genetics for horns.
Another question that I got in from one of my sponsors of the show. What weight does a half Wagyu, half Angus finish to be ready to go to the locker plant?
Well, various weights, and it's going to really depend what kind of a target they're trying to hit in terms of their marbling.
Okay.
And that's the thing. So Wagyu, unlike some other breeds, you know, a lot of breeds, when they hit a certain point of marbling, that's kind of where they're going to stay. They're
right.
not. You can leave them on feed for longer periods of time, and they're not going to continue to marble really well. But Wagyu cattle, their genetics, as they mature, they continue to lay on marbling. And so a lot of the half-blood cattle, they're finished, you know, at about 20 to 24 months, kind of depending on your feeding regimen and kind of what marbling target you might be wanting to hit. But now you get into the full-blood, purebred and full-blood Wagyu, where you're hitting that 40, 50% IMF, those cattle are going to be fed to 30, 36 months of age.
Okay.
Now, they don't grow them as fast. They grow slower. They don't push them as
that's
hard.
That's what I heard. That's my next question.
They let them kind of grow with a little less stress. And kind of come along. Their feed efficiency is pretty good, you know, because they're not eating as much tonnage, you know, or as many pounds of feed per day. So their ratio, but they are on feed for a longer period of time to longer ages, and that's where you get that really, you know, exquisite or extraordinary marbling from.
Yeah, I've had a buddy of mine that's got some over there between here and Oklahoma City, and he was telling me, you know, he said, you know, where you're taking a 18-month-old regular in for feed to the feedlot,
yeah.
he said it might be 20, 24 months on the Wagyu.
Right,
or
you'll add some more time.
Because they don't mature as fast.
Yeah. Well, you don't push them as hard.
Right.
So we get into these more conventional cattle. You know, you push them really hard. You're really after a lot of, you know, quick, you know, gain per day of age. You know, you're after that. And in fact, a lot of these cattle, you take a Charolais Angus cross, you know, a lot of those cattle will, if you push them right, they're harvested at 13, 14 months of age. you know, 1,250 pounds pretty right. regular. I mean, you can do that with those cattle, but you push them. But we don't, you know, with Wagyu cattle, you don't push them that right. hard. You know, it's a little slower process. But that's where you get that extraordinary marbling from.
Oh, the ones that the major brought in here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was bragging on mine. I still brag on mine. But that was pretty cool to see those deals. Had another question in is, did he say that Wagyu naturally have horns or naturally colt? I guess they didn't hear us.
Polled.
Yeah, polled. Not cold.
No, so, the black Wagyu, you know, they're horned. There is not a polled full-blood black Wagyu. Okay. Now, there are some purebred Wagyu that are polled, but full-blood Wagyu, there's not any polled.
Okay, cool. I hope that answered your question there. I think that was the one from Canadian Texas. Cool. Yeah. Anyway, and thank you for questioning that. And then I got to take a break, come back and do the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger, and we'll finish up talking about Wagyu. You got a few more minutes?
Yeah, I do.
All right, cool. It's Today in Ag on 96.5, and I got Robert Williams, who is Executive Director of the American Wagyu Association, in here with me. I'm learning stuff along with you guys. So, anyway, I'm always curious. Anyway, we're not talking numbers. You know how I like numbers. But, anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
With spring planting wrapping up and early summer harvest now underway, have peace of mind knowing you can depend on Western Equipment, your local John Deere dealer, to keep you in the field and running efficiently. With over 100 fully equipped service trucks, we will meet you wherever you are, whenever you need us, with zero unexpected fees or surcharges to worry about. Also, don't forget about our $99 inspections available when bringing in multiple machines. Call your local Western Equipment location today, and we'll have a truck headed your way.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Man, we got a lot of participation coming in, especially from the Einsteins over there at the round table of knowledge at Southbound. So anyway, I won't pursue that today. I'll do that in person with that famous fisherman over there named Bill Dance. Anyway, 100 degrees right now. 102 is the heat index. 28% humidity. Southwest wind 16 miles an hour. 23 gusts today. 103, looks like we're going to get there with a 30% chance of thunderstorms today. Tonight, 20% chance of thunderstorms. Tomorrow, 20% chance of thunderstorms. 102 for your high. And again, we got another chance of rain tomorrow evening. Saturday, no chance of thunderstorms. It's just going to be hot. 100 degrees. Sunday, 100 degrees. Monday, guess what? It warms up to 104. Anyway, I think after this little frontal system comes through, looking at what information I have provided to me from all the weather services, after this little front comes through tonight, that the winds are going to calm down and won't feel like a blow dryer going on out there. Well, Mr. Robert Williams, Executive Director of the American Wagyu Association, rejoins me here. And let me turn his mic on. I got to get that red button going. I got another question for you. And the question is, are they better fit for grass finish beef rather than feedlot finish?
No, I think grain-fed. Most of them are fed grain-fed, grain-fed finished. That's where you're going to get the extraordinary marbling from is from grain-fed cattle.
Right.
I mean, yeah, there are some producers that do grain-fed or grass-feed some cattle, but most of them are grain-fed.
Well, grass-fed in the last 5 or 6, 7 years, it's become popular amongst everybody wanting organic or all natural.
Well, yeah, the great thing is, you know, about production in agriculture is there's a lot of variety for folks that there's a lot of different flavor points. Yeah, I remember I was in graduate school, for example. One of the students, in our group was from Uruguay.
Okay.
And of course, he grew up on grass fed cattle. He preferred grass fed taste
over,
even
over,
the flavor. Yeah. I said, well, good boy, this is a great steak here. Oh no, I don't like. I'd rather have that.
Yeah.
And of course, we like this flavor. But it's really what you grew up on and what you appreciate.
It's your personal opinion.
Right.
One other question for you. Average life expectancy of a Wagyu cow.
So we have a lot of cows that produce, into their teens, and I don't know of any research out there that's really said, okay, what is the average life expectancy of Wagyu versus some other breeds? And, that's something we really need to take a look at. But I do know we have a lot of cows that stay in production for a long time. And bulls as well, they're around for several years, and so the life expectancy or the longevity is really good.
Well, having you on the show has been great, and I want you to try to keep me up to date if you can. In a couple months, when you talk about that deal that you guys had going out, if you feel like you want to share that on the show, just give me a shout, and we'll have you come back on. Well, you're going to a sale. Where's the sale at in Blanchard?
So it's down in Blanchard, Saturday at 1 o'clock. Yep.
And where's it? What is it at? A ranch or is it a?
Yeah, it's at. I can give you the address here. Maybe it. So the sale location is 2096 County Road 1305 Blanchard.
Okay.
And it's Saturday at 1 o'clock. But our genetic sales, production sales have been just fantastic. And cattle today, it's really, really, there's really a lot of demand for breeding females and bulls alike.
Right.
So
what's good? What all they selling at this sale Saturday?
There's some, some full bloods and some semen and some embryos, different things, and some half blood heifers.
Just a normal everyday cow sale?
Well, production sale.
Production sale, I mean, yeah.
For seed stock, yes.
Right. And anyway, that's great. Well, I had a question, but I just went to Super Air. Does the Charolais cross grow quicker than the Angus cross?
The Charolais cross, it depends what
with
you cross
Wagyu.
With, mate.
With Wagyu. Wagyu, yeah.
Well, yeah. So today, you look at the genetics today of Angus versus Charolais. They're both really great. We typically think
Angus are bigger than they used to be.
By far, yes. So they've made a lot of genetic trend the last 40 years. Since we got out genetic evaluations, expected progeny differences, EPDs,
right.
have really helped us place selection pressure on various traits, and Angus has been one of those breeds that have done that. So Angus do grow today, though. So the yearling weights will get right up there with Charolais. But I'd say, in general, Charolais has the reputation of having more growth, but Angus is right there with them.
Yeah.
And in terms of growth and feed efficiency, that's a really great cross, to hit that market. They just don't hit that extraordinary marbling like we do. But it's a good product, and a lot of these breeds have got a place in the marketplace. Depending on price points and what your flavor preferences are and those things. I'd say we get, in terms of quality, we've got the finest beef in the world.
But
Wagyu, in terms of quality is right. You won't have another flavor experience like it that you've ever had. So we got that in our favor. We've got some things to work on like every other breed does.
Well, does the American Wagyu have a website to look up what's going on?
Wagyu.org.
Hey,
W-A-G-Y-U.
Doesn't get any easier than that.
W-A-G-Y-U.org.
Yeah, spell that again.
W-A-Y-G-U.
Yeah, what? Yeah, because I had one buddy of mine here text in. He spelled it W-A-G-O-N. So.
No, W-A-G-Y-U, Wagyu.
Yeah.
.org.
And then, it's been a pleasure having you stop by here. Is there anything else you want to tell people out there about Wagyu that they think they should know about?
If you haven't tried it, It's time.
It's time.
It's time, and I think you know, you know, if you buy it and try, you know, want to cook it yourself, do a little research before you cook it, because it doesn't cook like typical beef, because you got a lot more, you know, especially the high marbling, the full blood product, and even the percentage, you got a lot more marbling there, and you don't want to cook away all that flavor.
Right.
And it's got a lower melting point, so you want to make sure you cook it right. So do a little research before you try it the first time. And you can pull up some YouTube and various sites on internet.
Oh,
now,
yeah. I've learned a lot of about cooking on YouTube. And there's crazy ways to cook beef. And it's good.
Sure, sure.
And Aaron, right over here across the hallway from me, you know, I've seen some half-inch and steaks in the skillet and stuff. But I actually did an inch and a half thick ribeye last week, two of them. And I'm sold.
Yeah.
It's amazing how we did that and then baked it, you know, finished baking in the oven. You don't have to do everything on the grill, but grill's still my favorite.
That's right, yeah.
And that's a great answer on the Charley, because up until 2 years ago, all my cattle were cross Angus cows, Charley bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a hot cellar, sale barn, and it still is.
It still is.
But now I'm tinkering, and I went to the Simmental bulls.
Yeah.
And I've got full blood Angus, or I've got Angus Simmental cross cows, and I'm loving what I'm playing.
I want to get you a Wagyu bull put on there.
Well, you know, with Major here from Cooperton messing around with this, I might be able to borrow one.
There you go.
That's what
there
I was at.
Buy one, and then he'll go full blood Wagyu.
Yeah, he's in Arkansas right now, so he's doing something. Well, yeah, I got
WAGYU, Wagyu.org. And if you need more information, we're happy to help.
Well, Mr. Robert Thomas, Thomason, here we go. I don't know too many Roberts. Mr. Robert Williams from the American Wagyu Association stopped by the studio on his way to the city today and talked about Wagyu. And like I said, you can check that out. And then I'm going to finish telling everybody about what's going on in our area for the next few days. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, there's a lot going on in Western Oklahoma the next week and a half. Well, first of all, we got Christmas in July coming up this weekend at Foss State Park to honor veterans. It was started to honor veterans from Desert Storm back in 1992, because I remember I was one of those guys on the stage. It was one of the most awesome times that I had for being in the military, to get up there with all the local guys that went to Desert Storm. And they've got all kinds of activities going on out there at Christmas in July. And also coming up, starting tomorrow, schedule of events for the 25th anniversary of the KECO Moran Equipment Open, starting tomorrow, Friday, July 8th, tomorrow, individual horse race, 4:00 at the Elk City Golf and Country Club. To enter the horse race, notify Blake Brewer at blake@kecofm.com. And then there's going to be a dinner and players party after the horse race at the number 3 hole at the Elk City Golf Course. Saturday, July 9th, the party starts. And what a bunch of great golfers. This is a big tournament. There's golfers coming in from all different parts of the state and states, different states. A, B, and C flights start off at tee off at 7:30. Shotgun start at the Elk City Golf and Country Club. Registration starts at 7 a.m. Afternoon tee time for the big boys. 1:30, shotgun start at Elk City Golf and Country Club. Registration starts at 12:30. Championship flight, 1:30 shotgun start at Elk City, and the registration there starts at 1 p.m. Anyway, it's going to be a great time. That's where I'm going to spend in the next 2 days, is helping with that. It's a huge event. And then the Wild Plum Jam, the first annual KCO 96.5 Wild Plum Jam, is coming up next Friday, July 15th. The Music Fest, Stoney LaRue, Tyler Wilhelm, Michael Martin Murphy, Joe Merrick, and Even Money, and Ragland. And get your tickets at all Hutch's C-Stores in Oklahoma, or at sarechamber.org, or at the gate. But you really want to do that. Hey, and then also, next Saturday the 16th, is the Dust Bowl Farm and Ranch Activities. And you don't want to miss out on that. And if you want to enter in the parade, and they'd love to have you, they got lots of entries already, call Sherry Dameron. And I had that number wrote down. Here we go. quick fingers. 374-2845. I'll be emceeing that. So you want me to talk about you to come by, I'm your man. Anyway, I'll talk more about that tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECL.
Hello. Here's a station you might like.
This is KECO, Elk City.